From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. The recent BART strike gave Bay Area commuters a taste of what happens when we lose a major segment of our transit system. So what would happen if more than one system shut down or if there was a major earthquake? The transit advocacy group SPUR warns that our transportation systems are already at capacity and aren't really set to handle rapid population growth. SPUR Executive Director joins us for the first half hour. In the second half hour, 5 months after Yahoo CEO Marissa Mayer banned employees from working from home, San Francisco Supervisor David Chu is proposing a family-friendly workplace that he says would help families balance work and home life. We'll talk about it with him. Join us for the hour ahead after this. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Good morning and welcome to this morning's forum program. In this opening forum half-hour segment, we want to focus on a report put out by SPUR, the San Francisco Planning and Urban Research Group, on Bay Area transportation and how best to be prepared in the event of a strike, such as the recent one by the Bay Area Transit, Rapid Transit, BART, or an earthquake, or for that matter, a terrorist act. How can the region's 27 transit agencies be better prepared for such emergencies, or in general, better accommodate those who use public transit or are dependent on it? Joining us for this opening forum segment here in studio is Gabriel Metcalf. He's executive director of SPUR, San Francisco-based urban planning think tank. Welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
Glad to have you. We also have Michael Canabatuan back with us, transportation writer for the San Francisco Chronicle, who joins us for this segment by phone. Michael, welcome.
Good morning.
Good morning to you. I want to begin, if I may, with Gabriel Metcalf, who I said is here with us in studio. And there was a lot of perception, I think, generally, that the BART strike was a setback in terms of reliability of transit. And there was a certain sense that there was a need for, shall we say, more reliable public transit. Gabriel Metcalf, you come down here to the importance, at least one of the key points of this report, of resiliency.
Yeah.
Let's talk about resiliency, what we need in that.
Yeah. So at SPUR, we spend our time thinking about how to grow transit ridership, as well as walking and biking, when a major part of the public transit system goes out because of a strike. It is a real setback for the pro-transit agenda. It makes people feel like they cannot, in fact, organize their lives to rely on transit. So it's caused some real soul-searching within our organization and I think the broader transit advocacy community. How do we be supportive of transit workers? How do we be supportive of transit systems? But how do we also keep track of the broader population that needs these systems? And
how do we coordinate these 27 transit systems, especially when they're in a case of a strike was, as you point out in your report, a real vacuum of information, and you have fuller near capacity still running in the face of a shutdown?
Yeah, that's right. We ended up thinking about this in terms of an analogy to earthquakes. And it's, in fact, sort of like Loma Prieta, where the Bay Bridge went out. Everybody had to use BART. In this case, it was the other way around. BART went out and everybody had to use the Bay Bridge. And in fact, it so happens we've done a lot of thinking about how the transportation system of the Bay Area could work after an earthquake.
Well, and that gets us to, again, that key word of resiliency. I mean, what we're talking about, I think, is are we not transportation networks and backup systems and other alternatives?
Well, the key is to have redundancy in the system. And with San Francisco being a peninsula, you can really think about this in terms of specific corridors. So if the Golden Gate Bridge were to go down tragically, how would that corridor work? In the Trans Bay, East Bay to San Francisco corridor, we can look at that same question. But it turns out there really is no way to replace what's now almost 400,000 people a day taking BART. The de facto decision most people made, we think, is to stay home.
Well, what about, in fact, Michael Canabatuan, what about new and replacement services? And we'll be talking in the next segment about a flexible workplace, but those are real possibilities, at least in terms of backup here. We're talking about the need for redundancy.
Well, you know, as Gabriel said, there are 400,000 people that that ride BART every day. And if you figure that the average 10-car BART train probably carries more than 1,000 people, that would take a lot of buses in order to haul that many people. It's really impossible. You know, you might be able to get all those buses and store an extra fleet of buses in Alameda. It would be expensive, but then you'd have to have drivers who were just standing by on call. So it's literally impossible to have something that would replace the capacity. That said, there are services. AC Transit boosted its service during the strike.
And BART had buses, but it still didn't really help. It just slightly helped the problem. It didn't ameliorate or really solve the problem. I'm just wondering if, for example, when Gabriel Metcalf talks about the Bay Bridge and how the BART strike led everybody to the Bay Bridge, what about, is it realistic to do like what they've done in Lower Manhattan? They've restricted occupancy to no less than 4 people per vehicle, or Caltrans could actually restrict on 880 and 580 or 101 and 280. Is that realistic?
You know, I'm not sure how politically realistic it is around here. I'm sure there would be a lot of opposition to that. One thing they did do is along I-80 and at the Bay Bridge Toll Plaza, they extended the carpool hour lanes basically to all day from, I think, 5 a.m. until 7 p.m.
Well, what about, for that matter, having more city park and ride locations?
I think that would probably help as well. You know, the East Bay has the casual carpool system that, you know, coincidentally started in the 1970s during an AC Transit strike. That has proven to be very popular and work very well going into the city. Coming out of the city and going back to the East Bay, it's a little more problematic.
And when we talk about the Bay Bridge, I think perhaps listeners ought to be reminded that despite the $6.3 billion to manage the, if we can ever get the bolts right on there, the eastern span, the fact of the matter is it's not going to even add up to a single lane of capacity added.
Right. No, that's true. I mean, you know, people are often saying, well, why don't, you know, and I heard this during the strike, why don't they turn off the metering lights or eliminate the toll plaza, but you still have 21 lanes funneling down into 5.
So what can we do? And we'll hear more about this, of course, from Gabriel Metcalf, from your perspective as a transportation reporter, to enhance, well, the transit agencies, create better coordination and have them working on behalf of people when there is an emergency.
Well, you know, I think you kind of had the answer right there yourself. It's coordination. It is, you know, making them work together. For example, there are transit agencies in Contra Costa that just run buses in Contra Costa. Perhaps they could run buses that go into the city. Perhaps AC Transit could run more buses that go across the Bay Bridge. Maybe people could shuttle passengers from, say, Walnut Creek to downtown Oakland where they would get on a bus. There's a whole variety of things that they could do, but it would require the agencies to work together. And part of the reason that many of those agencies formed was to have local control and to serve their area, not the region.
Michael Cabanatuan, again, is transportation writer for the San Francisco Chronicle. Michael, I appreciate your being with us this morning. Thank you.
Sure.
Gabriel Metcalf, executive director of SPUR, is with us as well, and you can join us. In fact, if you have some bright ideas about what can be done, SPUR certainly put out a whole report, and we'll have some more highlights of that, but we'd certainly like your contribution. What can be done in the event of an emergency, and what can be done to have better transportation and better transit agency coordination and to fill the vacuum that exists between 27 transit operations here in the Bay Area? We'd like to hear from you, and you can join us now. This is a half-hour segment, so if you have something to contribute, now would be the time to call us. Our toll-free number is 866-733-6786. Please feel free to join the program. Again, it's 866-733-6786. You can also email us, forum@kqed.org, or post any questions or comments you might have onto our website, kqed.org/forum, and click on this segment. Or go to our Facebook page or tweet us. Our Twitter handle is @KQED Forum. And a listener writes on our website, I hope Metcalf comments on self-driving cars sure to come within the next decade and dominate driving in the decade after that. You looking ahead to that?
Yeah, there's a lot of focus right now in the transportation field on self-driving cars. And yeah, I think they will happen. I don't think they're going to be a solution for transportation within metropolitan areas, really, because the real bottleneck of our highway system is exiting the highway system and entering surface streets. And self-driving cars do not add capacity to surface streets.
Well, another listener says on our website, if BART continues to squander capital on route extensions it can't afford or on absurd projects like the Oakland Airport Connector, projected construction cost $484 million, that will do nothing to relieve traffic congestion. The Bay Area will be vulnerable. Would it make much more sense to invest dollars in bus rapid transit, which requires much less capital and is more flexible?
Yeah, that might be true. I basically would tend to agree with some of those sentiments. There are certain expensive rail capital projects that do make sense for BART or for Caltrain or other rail providers. But in general, the trend in transportation infrastructure is to do cheaper forms of investment like bus rapid transit.
So give us a sense of what your specific recommendations are on this per report. I mean, in terms of just making for better transit, especially in emergency cases like a strike or an earthquake.
Right. So the interesting thing here is the Bay Area transit system is not as good as it should be in general, and we can maybe talk about that. But in an emergency, that's especially where we need things to be different. And I think the sort of most fundamental thing we need is we need an entity that has the responsibility and authority to manage transportation in an emergency, whether it's from a strike, an earthquake, a terrorist event, or something else. Somebody who's in a position to commandeer buses.
A czar of transportation, a new bureaucracy?
Well,
an
emergency transportation manager. That could be MTC, the Metropolitan Transportation Commission. It could be some other entity. But somebody who is in an emergency able to say, we're going to fill the empty seats in the private cars on the Bay Bridge. We're going to reroute buses. We're going to put in counterflow lanes if necessary. We're going to do whatever it takes in an emergency to make sure people have the information they need.
It's going to require a good deal of political will, though, isn't it? Not only to get that set up, but to get it viable.
Yeah, it will. It will require political will.
Let me hear what our callers have to say. Phil, let's begin with you. Good morning. You're on forum.
Yes, good morning. I was stationed in Berlin, Germany during the Soviet invasion of Czechoslovakia, and what we had to do is increase our work hours. I don't understand why we can't have 24-hour businesses. If they need to operate and get their work done and get their employees in, why can't we have 24-hour businesses? Will people have shifts instead of the 9-to-5 shift, the 5-to midnight or 5 till 2 o'clock in the morning or whatever it might be, change the business hours. Businesses can do that. Restaurants can do that. It would provide parking lots can do that. Let's think beyond the box.
And your response, Gabriel Metcalf?
I think that's in a sense what the primary response to the strike was. People worked from home, they worked from cafes, they came in early, they came in late. If you add up all of the replacement services, the ferries and the extra buses and the dynamic ride sharing, it's a very small percent of the passengers that BART carried. So what that means to me is that the solution of choice was to work different hours or to work in a different location.
Well, we're going to hear about a ordinance that's an initiative, I should say, in the second segment of this hour for flexible work time. But let me get another caller on here in the meantime. And Ariel, that's you. Good morning.
Hi, this is Ariel. Calling
from Ariel, Berkeley. Sorry. Go ahead.
Not to worry. My question is there any possibility of using ferries or boat transportation to increase the commuter ease across the different parts of the bay?
Yes, there is, and that did happen. The existing ferries that we have can take about 2,000 people per hour across the bay, whereas BART takes a little more than 20,000 people an hour. So it's similar to the problem that Michael brought up with buses. We don't have 10 times the normal ferry capacity just sitting idle to bring online in case of an emergency. But maybe we should pay for a little bit of extra ferry capacity that can surge in an emergency. It's an interesting question.
And Ariel, we thank you for the call. I want to get to more of your calls. We got Amy on next. Amy from Oakland. Hi.
Hi. I just wanted to raise the point of the cost to commute to the city. I live in Oakland, and we actually drive every morning because it's much cheaper for us than to try to catch a bus, which costs almost $5, and then the extra muni fare is $2, so that's $7 one way. And so that, I think, limits a lot of people from, like, driving is actually cheaper if you carpool. So I don't know about the cost and that. I just wanted to address that, bring up that point.
Yeah, it's a really good point. Transit in general is quite underfunded in the Bay Area. And if you compare the costs, especially of the regional transit systems here to other regions in the United States, we're very expensive. It's a really good point.
Yeah, and I thank you for the point, Amy. Of course, one of the things we learned from the BART strike is there's a lot of division about where money should be spent. And I'm not going to talk about wages or healthcare or, for that matter, pensions. I'm also talking about, maintenance and new cars and those sorts of things, as opposed to the demands of the workers, or for that matter, as opposed to making it cheaper to ride the cars. You've got all of that playing into this. Let me get some more callers on here. Let me go to Ed in San Anselmo. Ed, join us. Hi.
Hi. Although natural disasters may from time to time affect a system, I think the most likely cause of major disruptions is strikes. And there should be a rule that the municipal employees can't strike but have to work out deals, and that they all can't strike at the same time, because that's a preventable cause of major disruptions in the system.
Well, thank you for the call. One of the things I was surprised by with the BART strike was the governor could have simply intervened and didn't. I mean, when you have these kind of situations, there is executive power, and he makes a good point. With this kind of economy, we got an uptick in the economy and workers wanting more wages after sort of not getting them for a number of years. You could at least theoretically have a lot of strikes going on at the same time. By the way, I'm not advocating this. I'm just saying it could happen.
Right.
We had it. When BART was on strike, there was talk about AC Transit going on strike and so forth.
Right. And workers in City of Oakland did go on strike briefly. So
they are. On our website, a listener says, how could they have spent so many billions of dollars without adding a bike lane? Good question. Listener also writes on our website, I live in Alameda and wonder why we can't have better, read more frequent and less expensive ferry service. There it is again. In fact, I thought Water Emergency Transportation Authority was setting up ferries for transportation in the case of emergencies. On a side note, our family just returned from a vacation to Seattle and Vancouver, and they put us to shame. Bus services were frequent, clean, and cheap in both locations. Ferry services, particularly in Vancouver, the Sea Bus was amazingly cheap and efficient. We could learn a lot from other cities here, to be sure. We're talking to Gabriel Metcalf, who's executive director of SPUR, the San Francisco-based urban planning think tank, and they've put out a – in fact, is this available online now?
If you go to spur.org, it's right there, the report.
Get the whole report. Very good. Let's get some more calls. Pam, hi.
Hi there. My question has to do with if there was a major emergency and the Bay Bridge, for example, went down, let's say an earthquake – I don't know if there's any planning for BART to ring all the way around the bay so that people could access the peninsula of San Francisco via BART all the way.
Well, in fact, there is. BART is currently being extended into San Jose and perhaps Santa Clara. BART itself will not ring the whole bay, but between BART and Caltrain, the two major commuter rail systems in the Bay Area, there will be a ring, not the North Bay, but from the East Bay all the way to the South Bay and back up to San Francisco. So yes, within our lifetimes, that will be a form of redundancy.
And we thank you for the call. This may be a little crystal ball gazing, but how does overall, from your research, the financial future of this region as far as transit look?
Well, it's not good.
It's grim, really, isn't it?
It's not good. Yeah. On the capital side, of course, the federal government is funding transportation less and less, forcing states, regions, and cities to self-fund. And that's a change that we're just beginning to get our heads around. We're going to have to be taxing ourselves at higher levels to pay for transportation in the Bay Area. That's both on the capital side, but also on the operating side.
Again, we're talking with Gabriel Metcalf, Executive Director of SPUR, the San Francisco-based urban planning think tank. And our next caller is David from the city. Hi.
Hi, David. I have a nonprofit called TransDef. We're transit advocates. Three quick points. This is a failure of coordination by MTC. They simply not stepped up to that task, largely out of political timidity. Second, there's been a decrease in regional transit ridership over the last 30 years. MTC has spent billions of dollars on massive projects that have not only not increased transit ridership, but it's actually dropped. And so two of your earlier callers were right on when they talked about projects that make no sense and that are political pork for politically well-connected individuals. It's just disgusting. And MTC has failed as a regional transportation planning agency.
Well, David, I thank you for the call. Gabriel Metcalf, can I get you on record here talking about failure of MTC or just a general decrease of ridership?
Well, I mean, David's right. We have had a decrease in ridership. Muni has lost riders over the last decade, making San Francisco the only large city with a significant transit operation to lose transit riders over the last decade. This is a time when gas prices have been going up, when demand to live in cities is going up, and the other major transit operators are seeing ridership increases. BART has seen quite significant ridership increases, so it depends on which operator you look at. But in general, the trend needs to be in a different direction.
I don't want to put you in too much of a political hot water here, but what about failure of MTC or buying pork projects?
Well, I think by national standards, MTC is perhaps the best metropolitan planning organization in America. And I have all kinds of things I wish MTC did better, but I think MTC in general is a force in the right direction.
Well, we're getting a lot of listeners registering some strong feelings here. Here's Steve who says, forgive my bile, San Francisco's transportation system is so incredibly dysfunctional that one cannot expect it to work during emergencies. It doesn't even work during normal times. Now, I'm a transplanted East Coaster, so I have an obvious example to compare, New York City. Problem in San Francisco is that Muni doesn't work. Buses sometimes don't show up. You can't rely on it at all. And Harriet writes, if you get the politicians out of the transportation decisions, you'll have a better working transit system altogether. David writes, a key to better utilizing existing transport infrastructure is integrating schedules across the respective carriers. It turns out that dynamic scheduling could be the best single tool for adapting to single carrier laws. He's right, isn't he?
Yeah.
Well, again, let us know where people can read the SPUR report, spur.org.
Spur.org.
And thank you for being with us. Gabriel Metcalf, again, is
my
Executive
pleasure.
Director of SPUR. Appreciate your being here. And we also had Michael Cabanatuan on, transportation writer for the San Francisco Chronicle. We are going to shift gears. We're going to talk about adopting flexible work schedules for families in the next segment up ahead. Stay with us. You're listening to Forum on KQED Public Radio. I'm Michael Krasny.